Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Wednesday, January 14th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Measles outbreaks are ongoing in pockets of the Mountain West. As Yvette Fernandez reports, case data shows that those who were not vaccinated are at the highest risk.
2 years ago, by the end of 2024, there were 285 cases of measles and 16 outbreaks. Compare that to last year, and the picture was dramatically different. 2,144 cases and 49 outbreaks, according to federal CDC data. Hundreds of those cases were in Mountain West states, with Arizona, Utah, and New Mexico leading the way. Nicole Witt, the Assistant Director for Public Health Preparedness in Arizona, says the overwhelming majority of cases were among people not vaccinated.
9 out of 10 individuals exposed to a person with measles that are unvaccinated, will contract measles.
Mojave County, Arizona, which borders both Nevada and Utah, has one of the highest rates in the country. Witt says Arizona expects to report more people with measles this week. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
According to health experts, 95% of a community needs to be vaccinated to provide herd immunity. Wyoming is 93.5% vaccinated, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The Wyoming Game and Fish Department and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service plan to use a helicopter to capture and collar some elk near Jackson in the coming weeks. It's meant to help better understand the migration of one of the largest elk herds in North America. This study will help track where elk forage in warmer months, monitor survival, and adjust hunting practices accordingly. This is state managers near completion of a plan for the Jackson herd. It's the first of six to guide management of elk wintering on 21 state feed grounds. State officials approved continuing to feed elk 2 years ago. Federal managers are also expected to complete an overdue update of the Bison and Elk Management Plan that will dictate the future of feeding on the National Elk Refuge. It's Wyoming's only federally run feed ground. The U.S. Postal Service is advising against relying upon postmarks to track the timeliness of your mail. It's now more likely that mail will be postmarked once it reaches a processing facility, at least a day after it was collected. The cost-saving move made in late December has implications for tax filing and bill paying, especially for rural areas. It could also impact mail-in ballots. In the Mountain West, Colorado, Utah, and Nevada have statewide mail balloting, and Arizona, New Mexico, and Wyoming allow for mail ballots in certain elections. Cisco Aguilar, the Secretary of State in Nevada, says officials are worried the change could impact voters.
I could understand a voter's desire to want to wait closer to Election Day because campaigns are competitive.
The Postal Service advises sending in ballots at least a week before Election Day. The federal government is reopening its environmental review of a massive transmission line proposed for Nevada. Experts say the move could signal how big energy projects are approved on public lands throughout the Mountain West. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has more.
The Bureau of Land Management says it will prepare a new environmental analysis for the Greenlink North transmission line, after conservation groups and local governments challenged the original review. The roughly 350-mile line would cross public land in northern Nevada, connecting energy projects to the regional grid. But opponents say the original analysis underestimated impacts to sensitive wildlife habitat. Patrick Donnelly with the Center for Biological Diversity says the stakes are especially high for one species.
Greenlink North is going to cause irreparable harm to the greater sage grouse and to sage grouse habitat all through central Nevada.
BLM officials say the updated review will take a closer look at those concerns, a process that could influence how future transmission lines are approved across the West. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
Land managers sometimes allow naturally ignited fires to burn when the conditions are right. New research shows there can be significant ecological benefits when they do so. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports.
The Mount Trumbull Wilderness Area is a remote piece of ground in northwest Arizona. In the late 1800s, the forest was open with some 25 trees per acre. And then came more than a century of aggressive fire suppression policy, according to lead author John Paul Roccaforte.
By 1999, the site was dominated by closed canopy stands, and we saw an increase from that 25 trees per acre up to 495 trees per acre.
In such overgrown conditions, dense stands of young trees can choke each other and other native species out and can lead to explosive blazes. But then came two wildfires that managers allowed to burn in 2012 and 2019. In their wake, density fell by half to around 245 trees per acre, a substantial way back to pre-suppression conditions. Given the findings, Roccaforte says that such let-burn policies are one of the most powerful fire management tools available to public land agencies. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The Wyoming Department of Transportation has started a state rail plan. It's meant to serve as a long-range planning document for rail infrastructure and improvements. Currently, WyDOT is offering an online meeting, available at any time, to provide background. The agency is also asking the public to fill out a survey that asks questions about potential investments and safety to the current rail system and the importance of a potential passenger rail. For more information, head to WyomingStatewideRailPlan.com. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Douglas swimmer has broken a 17-year school record. The Douglas Budget reports freshman Nick Harvey placed third in the 100-yard freestyle at the Casper Invitational, clocking in at 50.89 seconds. That was just 0.04 of a second faster than the 2008 record from Brian Boonen. The Sheridan High School's We the People team has been named state champions for the 7th straight year. The Sheridan Press reports the competition teaches students about civics and their government. This is the Sheridan program's 13th time in the last 14 years that it's qualified for nationals, which will take place in April. Four Wyoming kids have made their mark on the rodeo world. The Casper Star Tribune reports Afton twins Ryder and Case Kerr bested 21 other teams to win the number 10 team roping world title at the Yeti Junior National Finals Rodeo. Case returned a few days later to also win the open division with his partner from Idaho. Evanston's Clancy Cornelison took top honors in the Junior Roughstock Association Junior Bareback Finals. His brother Croydon finished second in the average in senior bareback and won the short go with an 81-point ride, which was the highest mark of the week. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Who was Wyoming's first territorial governor? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, how much did the recent renovation of the Wyoming State Capitol cost? The final bill for the 3.5-year renovation of the 132-year-old Capitol came in at around $310 million. And if you haven't had the chance, it's really worth checking out. It's beautiful. Congratulations to Anderson Gray, who was the first person to submit the right answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Enjoy the day and join me again tomorrow. Oh, and happy birthday, Hanukkah.